the Word of God, please, and turn with me. The last book of the Bible, the book of the Revelation. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ given to John by the angel. As we stand to our feet in honor of God's Word, I want you to look with me in chapter number 1, and we'll also be looking in the very last chapter, chapter number 22, in just a moment. Revelation chapter number 1 and verse number 3. The Bible says, "Blessed is he that readeth, and they that heareth the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand." Now I want you to look at the last chapter, chapter 22 and verse number 8. Notice what the Bible says. "And I, John, saw these things and heard them. When I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship the feet of the angel, worship before the feet of the angel, which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, See thou, do it not. For I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren, the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. Worship God. And he saith unto me, Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still." Chapter number 1, verse number 3, the Bible says, "For the time is at hand." In chapter 22, verse number 10, the Bible says, "For the time is at hand." And I want to preach on the time is at hand this morning. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love, and we thank you for the time you've given to us to gather here in this place. Lord, we thank you for the reading of your word. And I pray, Lord, today that you'll be with the preaching of it. I know I can't do this in myself, and I ask that you would help me. Lord, please empower me and strengthen me to say what needs to be said. Lord, I pray that as I preach that your anointing would be upon it. But then, Lord, I pray for those that are hearing that all of us would hear exactly what we need to hear. I ask you, Lord, to strengthen us through thy word, through the Spirit of God. Lord, hide me behind the cross. Today, God, I pray that we'd see thee, not me. Lord, I thank you now for what you're going to do and what you're going to accomplish. For it's in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I do pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. We know that there's a timetable about how things are going to happen. The Bible says here that the time is at hand. I believe soon that the rapture of the church is going to take place. I have no doubt in my mind that everything is done that needs to be done. The only thing is now for the command of God to tell the Son to come and get the church. When I look at the Bible, I want you to just get in your mind the time frame of things. The next great event, I believe, in prophecy. Now, there's going to be some things that will continue on. There will be some things that will take place. We're going to hear more things about Russia. We're going to see more things in the Middle East. We're going to see more things happen in our land. There's no doubt about that. That's just the way that it is. It's signs of the times. But the next great event in biblical prophecy is going to be the day that the Lord Jesus returns in the air and calls the church out of this world. We call that the rapture. And then there's going to be 7 years of tribulation. 7 horrible years of tribulation. And then after those 7 years, the Lord Jesus Christ is coming again to the earth. And his feet will sit down. We'll sit down on Mount Zion. And what a time that's going to be. And guess what? I'm going to be with him then. Because when he comes, the next time in the air, he's coming after me. This old body may be in the grave, or I may be alive and remain. But when he comes, I'm going. When he calls out from the air, I'm going to rise up and I'm going to be with the Lord Jesus. And then 7 years later, he's coming back to the earth. And we know that. And we see here in this prophecy, this book of prophecy, John is letting us know that we need to pay much attention to what time it is. You know, we don't want to be late for appointments, do we? We don't want to be lagging behind in certain things. Well, we need to pay attention to what time it is on the time clock of prophecy. We've been studying the Revelation on Wednesday nights. I've enjoyed it so much, and it almost kept me from preaching this today, simply because we're dealing with some of the things today that I'll be talking with the next time I preach. But when we think about what time it is, we ought to examine ourselves. We need to examine our lives, and we need to see where we are. We need to take inventory and be sure that we are where we need to be, that we're doing what it is that we need to be doing. When we read the book of the Revelation, we automatically think of the future. There's so much about the future that's in there. But this statement that we read here in chapter number 1 and then in chapter number 22, this statement tells us that the rapture of the church is imminent. In other words, it could happen at any moment. It could happen at any time. Jesus could come. We could hear the trumpet sound, the voice of the archangel, and we could hear the shout of the Lord, and Jesus is coming again. Verse number 10, he said, "Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand." You remember he told Daniel to shut up the prophecy, to shut up those things. But now he's telling John, let it be known, and so that people can take an inventory of their life and be sure that they're ready. He's closing this book in chapter 22 by telling us that Christ's return will happen so quickly that people won't have time. Man won't have time to change who they are and what they are. It'll be too late. He says, "He that is unjust, let him be unjust still." When Jesus comes, "He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still." I ask you today, could Jesus come in the air today? Yes. There's no doubt about it. This could be the day. You say, "Well, preacher, we've heard it for years. Preachers have said it and said it and said it and said it. But he hasn't come yet." Will he come today? I don't know. But on the authority of the Word of God, I can tell you he can come today. And if he does come today, you better be ready. You can say, "I've heard it and I've heard it and I'm putting it off and I'm putting it off." But one of these days, it's going to be one day too late. One of these days, you're going to hear the trumpet sound and the voice of the archangel. All of a sudden, there's going to be multitudes of people that will be missing. It'll be too late for you. Wasted lives, wasted years. Opportunity after opportunity to give your life to the Lord, then to live your life for the Lord. But then one day, he's going to return. We can't go back and relive yesterday or the day before. Do you realize I can't go back and change anything about the past? There's not one thing I can do to change my past. But I can give it to the Lord Jesus. And he can take care of it. But I can make a difference from this day forward. And I can do things that please the Lord. When we think about the time being at hand, I think about all that's taking place. You remember 1948 when Israel became a state again, preachers started preaching, "He's coming! This is it!" Here we are, 60 years later. 61 years later. You remember, I got saved in 1985. There was a book that came out not too long after that, 88 Reasons Why the Lord Jesus Will Return in 1988. Remember that book? How many remember that book? Man, it was a hot item, wasn't it? How foolish. I thought there would be a book, 99 Reasons Why the Lord Jesus Will Return in 99. I believe I could write a book I could write and be truthful. 9 reasons why Jesus could return in 09. Now, I didn't say he would, but he could. And that'd be good for every year, wouldn't it? I wonder if I could write that book and be a millionaire. You reckon? Huh. You know, you never know. But I was thinking about this time being at hand, and I was thinking about the signs of the times and the things that we've heard and the prophecies that we've seen fulfilled. In my lifetime, it just seems like thing after thing after thing has happened. And I'm reminded of what the Lord told John here to write these things, because the time is at hand. Jesus may not come today, but he could come today. We don't know when it'll happen. But what time is it in the lives of all of those that are right here now? What time is it in your life? I want to give you three thoughts very quickly. We won't be here past 2 o'clock. Three thoughts. Number one, these are so simple. I preach it all the time. It's time to believe. It's time to be sure. It's time to be saved, in other words. It's time to believe. I want you to notice what the Bible says in the Gospel of John, chapter number 20, verse number 31. I love John's Gospel. When somebody gets saved, I tell them, if you want to get started out right, start out reading the Gospel of John. It's a great book to start with. Go through it and study it and read it. Great things about the Lord. Much of the Gospel of John, all the Bible is given to the Lord, but much we see the words of the Lord Jesus. But the Bible says in chapter number 20 and verse number 31, but these are written, all these things that you've been reading from John chapter number 1 all the way up to this point says, these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through His name. And I could start in the Gospel of John and we could go back and we could see that in the beginning was the Word and the Word was with God and the Word was God. We can see in chapter 1 verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We could understand that we could become the sons of God, the Bible says in John chapter number 1 and verse number 12. We can read and see that for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. We can read and say that there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ. We can understand these things, that when God gives us life, He gives us eternal life. We can understand that He is the good shepherd that giveth His life for the sheep, that He is the door, and there's no other way to the Lord except for through Him and through that door. We can see that how He calls His sheep by name and they hear His voice and they follow Him. And so John concludes this under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he says, these are written that you might believe in the Lord Jesus, that you might put your faith in the Son of God, that you may know Him as your personal Savior. You might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through His name. It's an amazing thing to me that there are people under the sound of my voice and people all around this world, and especially in our nation, that have heard the story time and time and time again, and yet they have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. But one of these days it's going to be too late. Because the time is at hand. One of these days, you're going to say, I'm going to put it off till next week. But the time is at hand. It could be that Jesus Christ were to come today, and that which you had every intention of doing, of living just a little while longer, and then putting your faith in Christ, it'll be too late for you. Dear friend, I want you to know, it's time to believe. And this word believe here, it means to put our faith in what Christ did for us, and by faith, ask and trust Jesus to save us. You know, the Bible says that in Proverbs 17, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. And you may think it's all right to put it off another day. It's all right to put it off another day. But God says you may not have another day. Many of us are here only by the grace of God. Our lives could have been gone just like that. I remember the night I got saved, August 26, 1985. I'll never forget it. I was under the old gospel tent, and I was listening to the preacher preaching. As he was preaching on light rejected, how you'd heard about the light. You knew all about the light. Man, I could give you a discourse on certain things about the Lord Jesus Christ. I could tell you who He was. I could tell you certain things about Him, you know, the things you learn in Sunday school, the things you learn growing up. I could talk about how He raised Lazarus. I could talk about Zacchaeus. I could talk about things like that. I could give you lots of stories. I could even tell you about His deity and understanding that He was 100% God, and still He was God that became man. I understood those things. But there had never been a time in my life where I prayed and asked Jesus Christ to be my Savior. I played the game. I did everything you ought to do. I sang in the choir. I went to Sunday school, but I knew in my heart and in my soul I'd never trusted Jesus as my Savior. And that night I was under that tent, and there were several hundred people at that time. It grew into thousands of people. But I'll never forget, there were people from my church that was there. There were people in my family that were there. And I was sitting there thinking, you know, I need to get this right. I need to get saved. And I remember thinking, but what will everybody else think? What will everybody else say? They already, people in my church, you know, they've watched me sing in the choir. And I taught a class of boys. I was 18. I taught a class of young boys on Wednesday nights. Man, I did everything you could do. I went out on the bus routes on Saturdays. I was involved. I thought, what are they going to think? And I stood there and I stood there and they're singing, "Pass me not, O gentle Savior." I'll never forget it. "Pass me not, O gentle Savior, here." And I said, I'm not going. Everybody thinks I'm saved. I'm not going. I don't know how many verses they went through. I always say 16 verses. They sang it over and over. People were getting saved, and people were getting saved, and people were going for it. And I said, I'm not going. And the preacher kept saying, I know you've heard this story, but I love telling it. The preacher kept saying, if you're not saved, you're not sure you're saved. Would you raise your hand? We just want to be praying for you. And I said, I'm not lifting it. I'm not going. Then, I'll never forget, he quit asking that question. And I went, it's all right. I said, boy, if he'd asked it one more time. In my mind, I said, if he'd asked it one more time. And then he said, one more time. If you're not saved. I'll never forget my hand going up. And as my hand went up, my foot stepped this way. And I started walking down the aisle. And I bowed in a bunch of sawdust. I was going through my Bible that I got during that meeting. And I was thumbing through it the other day. And out of the crevices fell some sawdust. I got high all over again, you know. I was like, but I remember that night thinking, if I don't get saved tonight, I'll go to hell. The time was at hand for me. I'm going to tell you something. Every day that you take a chance on your eternity is the most dangerous day of your life. It's time to believe. The time is at hand. I don't know when Jesus is coming, but He could come today. Or it could be tomorrow. It could be next week. It could be 10 years from now. But I'm going to tell you something. Whenever He comes, I'm ready. I have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Heaven's going to be my home. And when He comes, I'm going out of here. It's time to believe. It's time to be sure. So why do you say that? You already said it's time to believe. It's time to be sure. There's so many people that saved and they doubt it all the time. It's not you you're doubting. It's the Lord you're doubting. Did you believe what He said? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. Notice what the Bible says, if you will, in the book of 1 John chapter number 5. And you know this passage of Scripture. Now, the Gospel of John, he was closing it out. Same writer. And he says, I don't want you to turn back there. I'm going to read it again. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through His name. He was closing it out, and he gives some final instructions and words in chapter number 21. But that's what the Gospel of John was all about. He was writing so that you could put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, notice what the same writer says in chapter 5, verse 13. These things have I written unto you. There we see that same thing again, don't we? That believe on the name of the Son of God. This is not written that you might believe, but this is written to those that already have believed. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Isn't that precious? This is what he says.
The Gospel of John was written so that we could put our faith in the Lord. This first epistle of John was written so that we can know that we're anchored in the Rock of Ages, that we're safe and secure and steadfast in Him and who He is. I've put out beside my Bible, it says, if you believe, you can know, and if you know, you can believe. You say, that don't make sense to me. If you believe, you can know that you're saved. And if you know that you're saved, you can believe that you're safe in the Lord. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. He said in verse number 11, this is the record, that God hath given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know. I love that word know. I've got it marked in my Bible in the book of 1 John. I don't know how many times I should have counted that, but there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25. 25 or more times the word know is given to us in the book of 1 John. You know what this book is all about? It is written to believers so that we can know for sure that we're saved and everything is all right. This is a book that's written to those that have already believed, and now we can know that we're saved, and we can know that we're sure, and we can know it doesn't matter if hell charges at us. It doesn't matter if the world hurls itself at us. It doesn't matter all that takes place around us. I can know that I have eternal life because I have believed on who He is and what He's done. Fearful. It's fearful not to know what's ahead, isn't it? You know, I've been in places where I didn't know what to expect. I've been driving down roads, and the night that I met my wife and her family, I got them lost in my own backyard, you know? And I remember thinking, I don't know where I'm at. I was going to rescue them. I had these plans, you know. I saw her and I fell in love with her, and I said, I'm fine. And they turned out the wrong way. And I thought, well, that's not the way they want to go. Of course, you could have went that way. I didn't know it, but you could have went that way. I only knew one way in, one way out. And I said, I'm going to follow them. And I followed them. And by the time I caught up with them, they didn't know where they were at. And I should have known where I was at, but I didn't know where I was at. And they said, can you get us out of here? And I said, sure. Y'all remember that, don't you? Sure. About an hour and a half later, driving around, we pulled in Daniel Boone High School parking lot. And I went up to the car, and at that time, my accent was a little bit stronger than it is now. And I said, y'all think I'm an idiot, don't you? The only reason I know that's how I sounded, because that's what Paul tells me. That's how I sounded all the time. And we found out a quarter of a mile was the interstate. Right, a quarter of a mile. And I could have just, if I'd have known that, I could have went right down there and got on the interstate. We'd have been there. And I thought, I did it, you know. And they thought they'd be in by midnight that night. And I think it was like 2 or something. I don't know. But I mean, I was getting nervous because I didn't know what was ahead. The roads were dark. It's fearful not to know what's ahead. But when you're sure of what's ahead, you can live with confidence. If I would have known what was ahead, I could have driven that night with confidence. Because I know what's ahead, eternity with Jesus is ahead. It doesn't matter what man may say. It doesn't matter what man may do. I'm sure I'm saved and I'm safe in the arms of the Lord. And it's time to be sure. You see, you'll never serve God until you're sure of your salvation. You'll never accomplish what God wants you to do unless you know that you know that you know, unless it's anchored down, unless you've got it nailed down. I know in whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. And while I don't know when Christ will return, I know that He will return. I'm sure of it. I have absolutely no doubt about it. And I need to live my life in view of that day. I need to live for Him day by day, because if it were today, I need to be sure that I'm doing with God what I need to be doing. Not so I'll go to heaven, because I'm going to heaven, but so I won't be ashamed. I want you to think, some of you are sitting here. You've been saved for years, but you've wasted your life. You've wasted what God's given you. He may have given you talents, may have given you abilities. You could have been a preacher, you could have been a singer, you could have been and used your talents for God, but you waste years. And sometimes you even doubt your own salvation because you've not lived for the Lord. And that's a sad thing. But I want you to know what the Bible says in this same book, the book of 1 John. If we'll confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What a Savior we have. He says, not only will I save you, not only will I keep you, you're going to make your mistakes, you're going to mess up, and here's what you can do. You can confess them. Come clean. He said, I'll wipe them clean. I'll cleanse your slate. It'll be all right. It's time to believe. It's time to be sure. Many people live lives that doesn't line up. No chastening. You need to know that you're saved. I want to tell you something. If you're saved and you're living out of the will of God, there ought to be some chastening there. You better be sure. Because when Christ calls the saved home, it's going to be too late. It's going to be too late. If you've heard the gospel time and again, you'll not have that opportunity. And then finally, it's time to be ready. To be ready. See, all these things go together. I know they do. But I believe we just, as Christians, we know that we're saved. We know that heaven's going to be our home. But we need to be ready for Him to return. I told you the story about the time that my mom had given me an order to do something in the house. And she said, I'm going to be gone, and when I get back, I want this done. And I said, not a problem, you know. No big deal. At that time, we had this Pontiac. It's an old brown Pontiac, and every time you stop, the brakes would go, you know, that noise. And I'll never forget. She said, I'll be gone a couple hours. Well, you know, I thought, well, I've got time. I'll just do this and do that, and then I'll go get that done. Well, I started doing this and that, and I was having so much fun doing this and that, I forgot to do what she told me to do. And I'll never forget being in the house and hearing, and I went, I didn't get it done. And you know what the truth is? God's given us a lot of things to do, and one of these days we're going to hear the trumpet sound. And we're going to go, I didn't get it done. I didn't do it. I knew what I was supposed to, but I got so busy with life I forgot about the Lord. It's going to be a sad time. Jesus said in Revelation 22:20, He which testifies these things says, surely I come quickly. It's not going to be the trumpet's going to sound and then you're going to have years to get things in order. The trumpet's going to sound. When it sounds, He's coming quickly. You need to be ready. We need to get our lives in order. We need to understand what the Bible is saying. Back in the book of 1 John, chapter 2, verse number 28, the Bible says, and now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed at His coming. What if Jesus were to come today? Would you have confidence in what you're doing and what you have done for Him? I dare say, in today's world, many Christians will rejoice in the fact that He's coming, but they'll be ashamed at the moment that He comes. We need to be ready. And being ready means that we're doing what it is God has put us here to do. And every one of us have a purpose. There's no retiring in God's plan. You may retire from a position, but you never retire from the working for the Lord. That's something we do till Jesus calls us home. That's our purpose. That's our place here in this world. Matthew wrote, therefore in such an hour, therefore be also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. When He comes, it'll be quickly. You want to know how quickly it's going to be? I'll read this one last verse and the passage will close. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51. Paul says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. I like that. And it says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus comes, the Bible says, this corruptible, those that are dead, is going to take on incorruption. And this mortal, those of us that are alive, will take on immortality. And we will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. I'm going to tell you something, dear friend, because we have the victory through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And then it says, therefore, my beloved, because of this, because of what I've just revealed to you about the resurrection, about the coming of the Lord, it says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The time's at hand. It's time to believe, it's time to be sure, and it's time to be ready. So I preach to everybody that's here today. If you're here and you've never trusted Christ as Savior, it's time to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. For those of us that are saved, and many that are just straddling the fence and they just can't get it settled, it's time to be sure. It's time to put your confidence in what the Bible says about your salvation. If you've trusted Christ as Savior, you're saved. And you can be sure of that. And then it's time to be ready. If Jesus were to come today, this very day, are you doing with your life what God's will is for you? Let's bow forward to prayer. Are you ready? Back in the Revelation chapter 22, you remember verse number 20, Jesus said, I come quickly. You know what John's response was? Even so, come Lord Jesus. Is that our prayer today? Lord, we're ready. We're doing what you want us to be doing. Lord, we're saved. We know that heaven's going to be our home. We're sure. Our faith and confidence is in what you said and your word. We're ready. The time is at hand. What if today were the day? What if today were the day? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. This morning I want to ask you just a couple of questions. How many say, preacher, I'm not perfect. But beyond any shadow of a doubt, my mind, my heart, my soul, I know that I've trusted Jesus Christ and Christ alone as my Savior. And I'm going to lift my hand as a testimony. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Would you lift your hand and say, I'm saved, preacher. I'm on my way to heaven. I'm not perfect, but I've trusted Jesus. God bless you. Not every hand could go up. How many would be here today and say, preacher, there was a time in my life where I made a profession, but I'm doubting things. I'm battling this. I don't have that assurance that I ought to have. I need you to pray for me, preacher. I want to be sure about this. And that's me, preacher. I need to be sure about my salvation. And I'm battling my assurance. Would you lift your hand? Would there be one here today? God bless you. God bless you. Would there be another one here today? I'm not trying to shame you. I'm not trying to make you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I promise you that. How many say, preacher, if Jesus were to come today, I'm not saved. I'm not saved at all. I need to know the Lord Jesus is my Savior, and I need to get it settled. I believe He died for me. I believe what the Bible says, but there's never been a day in my life where I prayed and asked Jesus Christ to save me. There's never been a day in my life where I believed on Him. Preacher, I'm not saved today. Would you pray for me? Would there be one lift your hand today? God bless you. Would there be another one? How many of us says, Preacher, I'm saved. Heaven's going to be my home. I'm sure of that. But God's really dealing with my heart. If the trumpet were to sound, I'm going to be honest about this. Look, you may or may not lift your hand, but it's not me you're deceiving. It's yourself, because God already knows. But you would say, Preacher, there's some things that are undone that I know God wants me to do. And right now, I'm not busy doing those things, and I need you to pray for me. Look, I'm raising my hand. There's things I know I'm supposed to be doing. I'm going to find myself in the altar if I'm not dealing with somebody. I'm going to find myself in the altar getting this settled. But that's me, Preacher. Would you lift your hand? God's dealing with me about some things, and I know there's some things that He wants me to do. God bless you, and God bless you, and God bless you. All over this room today, thank you for your honesty. Let's do something about this. If you raise your hand and you're not sure you're saved, why don't you let us show you what the Bible has to say. And we'll go over these verses in 1 John chapter 5. We're going to show you this. Help you to understand that. Others may need to come and just bow before God and say, God, I'm so happy I'm saved, but I know You put more in my heart to do, and I need to get busy doing it. Father, please have Your way. We give this time to Thee. Lord, we...